Welcome to the Security Today podcast. I'm your host, Uncle Bear, and this podcast is brought to you by Sprinter Business Solutions. You can check them out at sprinterit.com. We have another segment of the Security Dojo. I told you guys that I was going to line this up and get good products in here for you to see, and I am elated to bring Veridas to the forefront as we talk about this. I'll let Kevin and Alfonso introduce themselves as we get started here, but we're going to be talking about their product in specifically the realm of identity and biometrics as what that's serving, and we'll touch on a couple of things that episode. So I am excited to be here. Kevin, thank you for joining. Alfonso, thank you for joining. And if you would, can you just give us a little bit of an introduction to who you are and maybe how you got involved in security in the first place? And then we'll get started into some of the questions.
Perfect. I'm Kevin Vrillin, General Manager for Veridas. I've been in the security space for a long time. When I say a long time, 20 plus years. Started network security. So I worked for Wellfleet, Bay, Synoptics, all the way back at the beginning. But have worked in a lot of different projects, worked in private-public partnerships. So at one point I was working in the CTO's office of TSA, helping them guide them on some projects that you currently see being rolled out. And I've helped rewrite the RTCA documents for physical security at airports and other places. So been in the space for 20 plus years, came to Veridas recently. But the real reason coming over here is the technology is taking that physical side of security back, bringing it into the logical side and combining them together into what people have forgotten. And we'll go over that a little bit more in a little bit. But I'll turn it over to Alfonso so he can introduce himself.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here. And I'm the head of identity at Veridas. I overview all the projects related to identity. And I've been in the space for logical and physical access for a long time. So very glad to be here and talk about security, identity, and everything related to the space, to biometrics as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, like I said, thanks so much for coming on, guys. I'm excited to get into this. Can you give the listeners a little bit of a synopsis on what Veridas is, maybe how it came into this space or into being all together, and maybe like what markets it serves?
Yeah. So Veridas is an identity company, right? So we're here to help people understand the identity of something, right? So someone making a transaction to someone coming into a building to allowing that person to come into the building. It started in 2017. BBVA Bank had a problem that they were trying to solve of trying to prove somebody's identity in Germany. And there was no provider out there to solve the problem. So they reached out to an engineering company where that's how we got involved, right? We're a small, it was a small engineering company at the time out of Pamplona, Spain. Where the Running the Bulls is. So they worked with BBVA to create a product to do signature and to bring people on board and for the German requirements. Over the course of the last 7 years, BBVA has grown from one project to about 50 projects with us, deployed worldwide, and we're authenticating someone for them about every second. And bringing in a new on board in the millions every month. So that's just one customer of ours. But the product has become an international product, mostly in the Americas and Europe, not too much in the Asian market today, but focused really around identity proofing. So trying to make sure that it's you, right? So using documents and other things. And then we've kind of modified from there to add facial algorithms to be able to tell if it's the person. And now one of our, we use voice. So in 3 seconds, we can tell if it's the person making the phone call. And that's in any language at any given moment. But we also brought together last year a physical product. That's where Alfonso really came from. And that was to get physical access. So that is facial terminals. So you see this in stadiums in Europe, LATAM, you're going to start to see it in the US, where instead of carrying your ticket and having to do things like that, it's all combined by just using your biometrics. why identify you any other way, right? Just walk in, show your face, have this seamless environment at you. And you can buy products, you can transact, you can use it to get in the ticket, to get in your suite, replacing a physical door, right? So that physical door reader. So it's been rolled out in corporations as well. So the product suite's really around identity, and it's just kind of modified with things that make your life easier. So our goal is to make everybody's life easier and prove that it's you making those transactions.
Mm. And so Veritas kind of got started then in some other markets or some other verticals, and physical security just, it fits really well in that too. And that's kind of why you've pivoted and started to get into that space as well.
Yes, absolutely. So, for example, last year we sold more than 2,500 units of our facial access devices worldwide. We also secured all the airports in Italy. So all the, in Europe, there is a legislation regarding borders, and mm-hmm. there is a system that is called entry-exit system, through which you have to enroll and then, verify your identity. If you come from the States to the European Union, then you need to put your passport, your fingerprints, and then your face. And through that, you verify the identity of that person. So we built all those machines. All the airports in Italy have our systems as well. So it's not new market, because we are applying all the knowledge that Kevin described to the physical access. The way, for example, I'm right now in a WeWork, for example, and then I have my, my card. And the problem is that, and we've been very successful because the card is what we call presumed identity. Okay, so this is something we own, but it can be, a personal device, a key, not only a card. It can be lost or stolen. And if you go to a password, for example, for logical access, it's the same. It can be known or hacked by others, if it's a password, for example. And then something we are, meaning the face, for example, it's been not only very convenient, but also very secure. It's the only way of securing a venue, a stadium, or a corporate office, a data center. And that's why we've been very successful deploying everything in the Americas and Europe, as Kevin said.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I was just talking, I think, last episode on the podcast that we dropped about that identity being something that you have, something that you are, something that you know. And so this is at the forefront of, I feel like, a lot of conversations that we should be having within security, because it is going so fast with technology that we're just rocketing into the future. And if we don't talk about these things, or if we don't get companies like Veritas that are concerned with the identity piece of this transaction, then we could kind of lose ourselves in this. So just for the listener's sake, identity being defined as the fact of being of who or what a person is, identity is a crucial aspect to access control within the organizations that integrators and manufacturers are trying to get into. So can you elaborate on several pain points that organizations might feel when it comes to this specific aspect of identity, so that we can kind of broaden that and see how Veritas is going to help those things?
Yeah, so, it's the whole problem starts, right? So like Alfonso said earlier, it's a presumed identity, right? So it's a card. So You have an identity to that card, but you don't have the identity to that person. So, people, you see it in TV, you see it in the movie, someone steals someone's card to get into the location. It happens all the time. And it may be for reasons to do something. It could be for espionage, who knows, but it happens. Maybe it's someone wants to travel easier, get around the airport quicker, right? They just use that. But they forgot to verify that it's the person that physically not the card anymore, it's the person. So then recently you start to see companies like HID release products into a phone, right? So now I have the same product in a phone. Well, again, I've now verified that it's the phone. I have to, it's not the person. So again, it's getting to that real identity of the individual. But we've also learned, we were talking to a lot of people. So funny, yesterday we had a fire alarm. Actually, it was a fire in our building in Cambridge. That we have a restaurant downstairs, and the grease caught on fire, right? So we had to leave. But four or five people forgot their badges to get back into the facility. And again, it's not that they had to leave because there was a fire, right? And they walked out and they forgot their badge. Well, if we had the facial terminal there, they would look at it and they would just be allowed to come in. No piggybacking. I can confirm that everybody that was coming in was the true person. And we've seen this not just from there, but let's just say you're at a, this happened, a very large bank, their CEO was in Boston, flew to Nantucket, was on Nantucket, right, off the shore, and he forgot his security token. He had to confirm a billion-dollar wire transfer. But the identity they used was the token. Again, not a needed thing, right? He left for the weekend, right? It's a token, right? That's the identity that they proved. It's an assumed identity to that person. So we got involved because we knew the bank, the two banks between them, and we did some stuff where we took images of the person and verified it was him, asked them for some documents, asked them for a voice clip. There happened to be a voice clip on file for him at that other bank. So we were able to prove that the identity was that individual, that the person trying to make that transaction was the individual. But imagine doing that early on and registering that. Now I have all that stored in my systems and I don't have to worry about that. And it makes life so much more easier. We've been talking to organizations about, right, so you sign up, you're in. It's a little bit physical, but let's go passwords, right? Just passwords by themselves. I forgot my password. Well, we can reset someone's password in 3 seconds by them calling a call center, which again, we do it with voice to be able to do that, but now they don't need a physical device to go. And all that is together in the same products. So you can use your face to get in. You can use your voice if you really wanted to enhance the product, to allow the person to get in. But it becomes this convenience thing. And we talk about it in sports and other things. You know, it's like an experience. It's the fan experience. And we're going to start to talk about our corporate experience, our employee experience, because you want to treat them special. And right now, they're being treated special, but not them, their card, their phone. Let's make that person feel special.
Yeah, I love that 100%. And I think that I just said that the identity is something that you are, you know, or you have, but that's really the credential. And so we're moving past that credential with something like Veritas, where we're actually like getting to the identity of the person and almost letting that be the credential. And right now within our industry, do you feel like identity is being handled correctly for the most part within organizations kind of across North America?
Well, that's difficult to say. Actually, there is one point that Kevin talked about before, which is the complexity of the systems. Okay, so managing all those identities across multiple systems and platforms, it's very complex and challenging. And actually, when we deal with that, for example, trade entity, as you said before, involving matching facial scan with an official identification document, before getting to the premises, to the venue, has to be related to, extracting that for logical access as well. Okay, so the only way to do it is to do it holistically, and being able to have one identity for all your for all the things you need to do with certain public administration, with venue or corporate. And today that's challenging as well, because what we see is that when we go for the physical and the logical, there is a barrier. There are no connections. So the challenge is there. How to manage all those identities there, both in the physical and the digital sites.
And one of the things, we thought of, starting late right? So I consider us starting later than others, right? In 2017, 2018, really using AI and some more newer cutting edge products. We started late, but we started from the ground up. So we didn't build something on something that's been around for 30 years or, you know, 20 years. We've decided that let's start and start from scratch and then build from there, because we're using technology to build this that hasn't been used in the space, right? So AI is a lot of the things we do, we run them through algorithms to really build it out better. But this gives us the capability to be very flexible, right? So one of the things that we hear as we talk to organizations is that, you know, you have a very old building system that you put in place, but you have a brand new HR system and they can't talk. Well, the reason we built from the grounds up, we're in between them now, right? So a lot of people are starting to say, well, you have an IAM, right? So you have a Ping and Okta, you know, product out there. It's great, but it doesn't really get you that communication to that front end, to that door. We kind of sit between it all because we built it from the ground up and we have that communication, taking that what's, you know, logical to that physical transaction going on. And you don't always have to use our door access, which is key, right? We integrate with others to allow this to happen, because maybe you don't need a facial terminal, like a we call it a compact that's in a door frame, but you know, may not need that to get into every door, but you want to get into some doors that way. We just kind of integrate and sit on top. And we learned that talking to a sports team the other day, they never changed their building access in 25 years. And they talked to one of our competitors about like trying to use them or trying to use it. And they determined they couldn't use the product because they needed this newer technology underneath it. We were like, oh, whatever, you could just do it here. And the guy was impressed. And just because we built it differently, thinking of how to do these integrations where, you know, the facial terminal is not going to replace everybody. And that gives us an advantage going forward, but it also gives integrators that you're working with an advantage that they can start to look to educate and get these guys on board to start to look at using newer technology without being fearful that it's not going to work or it's not going to integrate. We have to rip and replace. Corporations never want that.
Yeah. And I feel that, I mean, kind of from what you're saying, like identity, kind of backing that with some security theory, like identity is such a crucial issue with access control, because you want to give access to the people who like get access and not give access to the people you don't want to have access. But when you're presuming that credential is them, you're in a tough spot because you don't actually know if that's them. And so when you get into it, identity is something that is so important to the access control system and what it's even trying to do, which is secure information and secure people's lives. And when you are approaching that access control system, identity needs to kind of be at the top of mind. Are we securing that identity is at the forefront, that we're identifying who these people are and letting them in? Or are we just handing them a token or a card or whatever it be and presuming that like they're not going to lose it or they're not going to like let someone borrow it? And so with that, do you feel that that is the, just as security professionals, do you feel that that is the mindset that the Americas is taking, or even the globe right now, in physical security? Or is it still kind of a budding idea that like identity needs to be thought of? For instance, like that bank guy who wanted to, you know, transfer all that money. Like, he's probably not thinking, oh, my security system needs to have identity at the forefront. Is that commonplace, or do you feel like the conversation's changing?
It's changing, right? So I'll use another example. I love examples. It makes it telling the story so much easier. 15 years ago, I worked for a company, and we worked with airports, right? So I exclusively was in the aviation space, right? Just making airports safer. And one of the projects we worked on, and I was shocked when we put this whole thing in place, it was an airport, major airport, and they were complaining about every once in a while they would have a guy, they turned out that was arrested, but he got through the system, right? And they're trying to figure out what happened. So we put a system in place that just looked at someone's ID. So we built a product. It was built it was for 9/11. It was built to really check person's ID to make sure it was real. And when they put it on the scanner, we rolled it out in this airport. Well, it turned out at the airport, once a month, someone tried to get a job at the airport with a fake identity. Their brothers, someone else's they took, because the pay's good and it was easy. It was easy at the time. So when this happened, you start to see the aviation space close down. You start to see the critical infrastructure guys get on board. And typically they are the longest to move, but they were the fastest to move in this case. So that started this whole step to get to this whole new idea of moving away from a presumed identity. It's taken a long time, right? And like I said, security is, security is the slowest, one of the slower movers in the world, right?
Yeah.
Now, people, when you have that conversation, that was 15 years ago. People, that we're not even talking about that anymore. Now we're talking about the guy at the bank. Let's get away from that token. Let's talk about something else, right? And the story has changed over the course of time, but it's still the same thing. People need to really verify the person, the actual guy behind it. And we're seeing this even in little things like age verification, right? So like, is it the father or the son doing it? Like in gambling, right? Is it the, did the son take the phone and make the transaction? So we're seeing this kind of spread beyond that, which is then causing corporations to rethink it, right? So maybe they didn't really pay attention to it in the past, but now they're starting to see the need to really lock themselves down into the same facet that the rest of us are. At least the security experts always talked about. They're starting to get there.
Mm-hmm. And we always talk about what we call the magic triangle. So first, increasing security, of course, that's must. Then increasing convenience. So convenience today is key for both digital and physical spaces. So for example, the other day I was reading a study made by Gartner, and they told that today, for example, in a recent study, 82% of online consumers, are more likely to purchase from websites where they have an account, but they have, all of them have fatigue from account creation. So, in implementing identity there lowers friction and also makes, not also reduces the friction, but also generates results and increases also the rates, how people can handle all the purchases. Also in the physical space, and I put also the example, I follow Kevin's example. I have today two cards for a building, and this card belongs to me, but this other one is from my colleague over here, and I can use it. So that's, of course, this is not convenient, having two cards over here, but even more, it's not secure because, the system is reading that it's not me, but Sarah getting to, the building and the rooms. So it's all about lowering costs, increasing convenience, and increasing security. And that's, these three are the main KPIs.
And in the end, when we built the products and we keep adding to the products, it's about the privacy too, right? So we always take into account privacy. So we launched a product just 2 weeks ago, really around what's called an identity wallet. So you can physically own your identity and you can share it. But instead of having to have a physical card or anything like that, you now have that inside of a wallet that you can use. So the company doesn't have to store it anymore. We also, because of the European AI acts, right? So as the world changes over in Europe, drove a lot of our newer products, right? So when we released we're about ready to release a set of products for physical access facial terminals, but we added a new technology. It's called Wave, right? You wave your hands, but it allows you to start the camera, which then gives you consent, right? And then you're providing that. So trying to get around issues that you see with BIPA and other privacy concerns that are out there. We take that into the equation. So even though it's a triangle, but in the middle of that triangle is privacy, right? We need to make sure everybody has ease to use, the correct person. But in the end, we got to make sure that the person's comfortable with it. And some people are never comfortable with it. And we have ways to get them special circumstances around it. But it's really making that kind of all together and making sure that we follow the privacy laws that are issued by states, by counties, by governments around the world. And it's different. And we have a staff of people that really go out and study that. And I think that the important thing is, one of the things that was really exciting when I came here, the first time I think I've worked at a company where when I came in, there was a spreadsheet that had every privacy law, what the state of that law was, who was it affecting, how do they have to, what's the requirements of that law? And it was well done. And I know it took a lot of time and effort to get that. But when you're out there doing these jobs, you have no idea. Like, we learned the other day that there's a different law in Toronto, just Toronto, right? Not in the province, just in the city. And they're concerned about it. And we didn't even know about it. So we're researching that one now. But there are people that create laws and these hurdles along the way because they think they're doing the right things, but they're not listening to the overall population. And that's what you saw recently in Spain, where Spain said, let's stop all biometrics. It's not really what you want to do. And that's why the European AI Act that came out and kind of went over top of it and kind of explains it in more detail about what they're concerned with. We're in agreement, right? You shouldn't have a camera sitting on a pole watching everybody so you can advertise to them. You can have the security on the pole to make sure if there's a, you know, a murder that happened there, they can track the person down. But I still want to get into my building because I want it easy for myself. I don't want to have this physical card. I forgot the card. All these things that we've already talked about. I shouldn't have to be limited from that because someone's doing something wrong with the technology. Just got to put laws in place. And that's all these privacy laws are. Or to help guide people to make sure that no one's stepping outside the bounds to cause harm to somebody.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that you brought that up because that was something that I wanted to touch on in this podcast, because a lot of times I make an effort within the writing of the podcast to promote that privacy is a right and security is a right, and how those two balance within each other is something that every single security company should be concerned of. Whether you're putting security in, whether you're making security products, it doesn't matter. Those are rights to human beings that we should be concerned with. And so I'm really glad you brought that up and that you brought up the wave function. I know that when I was talking to Sarah, your marketer, that she was explaining how you wave to initiate the camera, and that's different from a lot of biometrics readers or facial scan readers out on the market today, which are looking for 3 feet or out, you know, for someone to walk up to it and it activates it, and then you maybe catch somebody who maybe simply didn't just want to share their privacy, or maybe there was a good reason for their privacy to, you know, be hidden or not disclosed. And that in and of itself is enough. I feel like some people might say, oh, they didn't want to share it. Oh, well, you know what I'm saying? It just got caught on the thing. And it's like, no, this is a human right. So that was one of the solidifying things that I was like, I want Veritas on this podcast, because I preach a lot that security is a right, and privacy is a right, and we should be sharing those within the security that we're providing to the world. So thank you for touching on that.
Another quick example there, right? You know, we do a lot of stadiums, right? So we provide access for stadiums to come in and out. One of the things that we learned in working with some of our partners, right? So you have all these new metal detecting systems going in, right? So you have like Zonar, Extract One, and Involve, right? They're putting these systems in place, all AI based, all great, all catching things. But what about the guy you don't want to catch? The police officer in plain clothes that is coming to the stadium because he's doing a job, but we don't want him to be noticed. So these systems flag them, and then they have to have a conversation. When you combine the two systems, when you add that plus our technology around it, where you pre-register, you put your face in there, We then flag the system and we tell the system on the other side, hold on a second. This guy should be able to come in because he's there to do a job that day. And a little bit of privacy, but in a way that's not the way that you think of privacy today. It's not because he wants to stay private. He wants people not to know because he's afraid the interaction that comes around with that. So kind of a different way of looking at it, but we've thought about that even from the get-go, building out Graylist to kind of help with that problem.
Mm-hmm. And then privacy, it's very important from the beginning, so from the registration part to the access. So it's not only having the wave, which is crucial to turn on the camera, but also
Yes. Even
the consent on the registration, accepting the terms and conditions, proactively taking selfies. So there are plenty of ways of complying with that. And then keep positive thing of we were born in Europe, and then we European Union is the, let's say, most advanced region in terms of privacy. GDPR was the first one, legislation regarding data. And as we were born there, we were born with all the technology compliant. And now we are following all the regulations regarding data. So CCPA, BIPA, the Texas legislation as well, INAI in Mexico, Chile. I mean, every country, every region, every state even, or even city, now is legislating around data. Okay, so that's a key part. And also how the technology is built is very important. So there are, for example, in the US, the US is banning Chinese manufacturers to provide those facial terminals because there are backdoors and there are Chinese servers connecting to those facial terminals, which is, unacceptable. And when we talk about facial, we don't talk about pictures and we don't talk about data that is stored and is vulnerable, okay? So we talk about biometric vector, which is a set of numbers and letters that can, and you cannot go back to the face from the vector, okay? Mm. So how the technology is built based on AI and machine learning is also part of intrinsic privacy compliant technology.
Yeah, privacy all the way through the access transaction, if you will. So yeah, that's definitely centered. Can we take just a second and walk through maybe a couple of elementary examples of how you might be verifying or identifying yourself? Because I know that it comes from the EU, where this is maybe a little bit more popular. But I would say that in North America, I have a face unlock on my iPhone to get into it. But what sort of ways am I identifying myself with Veritas technology?
So there are plenty. So if we go to, for example, physical access, I can ask for a visit. Okay. Then I will verify my identity. So let's suppose that I'm a Spaniard. I have my ID card. Then our technology will verify if this document is real or not, is fake or not. And if I'm trying to attack the system with a false document, and then through a selfie, we will verify that I'm the legal owner of that document, okay? So this way, the corporation in this case is verifying through, digitally, remotely, that I'm the one invited to that venue or to that corporation. Okay, to that building. And then once, and that's it, it's a 10 seconds process, okay? And then when I go to the, a week after to the building, then put my face and that's it. Only if my host is within the building, I will be able to get access, okay? And of course, we are connected to all the onwards, genetics and all the physical access control systems out there because what we do is verifying and authenticating someone, not authorizing the access, okay? So that's key as well. We add a convenience and a security layer, okay? So that's one example. Another example would be password reset, for example. So I can register in 5 seconds, any language, anything that I say, and then I can authenticate after in 3 seconds, saying something different, to what I said when I enrolled, and even in another language. If I enrolled in Spanish, I can authenticate myself in English. And that's very convenient, for example, for insurance companies. So let's suppose that I have a problem with my car between, I don't know, Cambridge and New York, okay? And then I need to call the insurance company and then authenticate myself, because I need to tell them my name, my insurance number, you know, two questions, two answers. I mean, I have a problem with my car. I want this solved ASAP, you know, as soon as possible. Instead of doing that, we can, you know, provide that technology to the insurance company, and then in 3 seconds, saying, "Hello, my name is Alfonso. I have a problem with my car." That's it. I've been authenticated, and, you know, all the process triggers. So these are two examples, for example, with face and voice.
One of the other things that we, Alfonso had kind of mentioned, but it also want to highlight, is we're not saving the image. We're saving templates. So one of the advantages we have that we've really run across, especially in the corporate space, you may have a gate like on the other side of the facility, and that gate doesn't have connectivity all the time, right? We can load in templates into that gate to allow the persons to come in and out on their identity. Different than having to figure out, oh wait, the gate's over there, I need to have connectivity, I need to have that badge read every time. We can actually start to look at ways to allow people to get in access at facilities that they may need limited access to, like a construction project, right? So the construction project may have power one day and the next day doesn't have power. Well, our terminals have battery backups and can run because it had stored those templates and not the biometrics themselves. So if someone were to steal that device, they're not going to even understand what's in there because it's all numbers, right? And they're not going to know where the number stops for one person, starts with the next person. All right, maybe they figure that out, but it's still numbers. They can't take those numbers to reproduce your face or your voice again. But it gives you a little bit more flexibility to get further out, right? You have a temporary construction project at a facility, and you put something out there for trucks for one day. We could even get it to the point where that truck driver has the capability of having on the bill of lading a biometric vector. So he shows that and then shows his face and it allows him in. But pretty much registration is quick, right? So we're just trying to make sure the longest part is the document, because they're big, right? We got to make sure that they're truly real. But face by themselves are tiny, right? Phones understand how to do things with them. So we're able to strip some stuff down, make it quicker to allow people in. But registration and use of it is within 10 seconds, like Alfonso says. It's really not that long.
And so a lot of these interactions are using, I mean, essentially like multi-factor?
It's all multi-factor.
Yeah.
Okay, and, awesome. And we can go like even beyond two-factor, right? So
yeah.
we call it a 2FA, but really it's beyond a 2FA, right? It's doing multiple things, right? You physically have to have something, you have a device, you have to have your face, you have other things. So anything that we're doing is going to have 2FA to start with, but we're going beyond that at this point.
Yeah, a 2FA plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, actually, one of the technologies we have patented in the US is what do we call the Zero Data ID, okay? So this is, you know, making the enrollment, as we said, with selfie or verifying the document. And then instead of, you know, creating that vector, that template, and putting it into a terminal, we send it to the user in a form of QR code, okay? Biometric QR code. So in this case, for example, I have mine over here, okay? And this is part of the template. And no one can use that biometric template, okay? No one can use this QR code. And our readers are capable of reading and decrypting that QR code. And then with my face, I can get access to that room, for example. And this is very convenient for data centers, in which, you know, I need something I have, in this case, this QR code that can be printed or being, you know, stored in a wallet over here in the phone. But without my face, without being me, I cannot use it, because we are pairing one-to-one with that QR code. And that's a multi-factor authentication, and it adds an extra layer of security.
Awesome. So you mentioned it prior about some of the use case scenarios that you've gotten into where it's kind of that that urgency of incident where something bad happened and now we have a fix for it. But moving forward, as that conversation is changing, like you've talked about, biometrics have kind of been like this sci-fi movie, right? And there's usually bad things happening to people in sci-fi movies. And so it's this overarching idea that maybe biometrics aren't great in person when we're having to use them. Have you seen from pushback from that at Veritas? And if so, what sort of ways do maybe you overcome that cultural pushback as us being the credential, if you will?
I think when people get to use it, right? I use the most exciting thing to me to watch is when we launch this at a sports stadium, right? And everybody's like, oh, we're never going to use it. We're never going to use it. Well, let's start with reality. What ends up happening is the first game, 100 people, 500 people use it. And then they see the line short. Then they want to use it. Then it gets bigger and bigger. Then the CEO goes through this and is like, why am I not using this for my office, right? I don't have to carry my badge. And he's telling others to use it. So before we started, we talked about education. Well, using this in a sports venue is our education. It allows people to start to realize it's not as bad as I thought it was, right? And I think when you talk about biometrics up front, it scares people. We're not talking about biometrics up front, right? We're talking about the identity. How do you get someone through easier? How that employee experience, treat them differently, get them into that environment. So as for a technology that's been around for a long time, we're talking now at levels at corporations at the C level and not just at the, you know, the IT staff level and not the lowest IT staff level because they think it's cool. We're talking to people that are very, you know, trying to figure out how to have a better culture, how to get your employee in, how to have them engaged more. Your employee's not coming in every day of the week now, right? So 3 days a week, 4 days a week. But how do I get them in? You know how after COVID, there are so many people that couldn't get in the buildings because they forgot their ID and they forget it constantly because they're only going to the office 2-3 days a week. How do I fix that? Well, fixing it is simple. Right? It sounds complicated when you start talking biometrics. No, it's just you. Just show your face, walk in, and move on. And when you break it down back to the way people at the upper levels listen to it, they get excited and they start to see it. I just go to password reset a little bit because it's very new to it's. We started this recently too, but
yeah,
we did this ROI the other day for a hospital. And we were like, all right, we know what our voice is at the call center to confirm someone's identity at the call center, right? Just that, you know, if it's the person calling in or not. We knew what the ROI was, right? Just say we were saving the hospital. In this case, it was probably like $300,000 over 3 years, right? So it's really not that impressive. Well, the guy said, well, what's the ROI if you do this for a password reset? And we modeled it for him. And we went from $300,000 to $1.5 million because 70%, 60% of the time that people in the IT department are using is because they were getting inconvenienced by, all right, let me look it up in the system. Let me reset the password. That's inconvenient to the employee at the IT staff, inconvenient to the employee that's having that conversation. They're wasting time. So we built this little thing that allows someone just to speak into the phone. Oh, I have a password reset, press 4 on your IVR, and then just speak, tell me what your problem is. And you can't say your name, your ID number, and the reason you're calling in under 3 seconds. And if you can, let me know, because I haven't found anybody that can talk that fast. and it resets the password. And everybody's excited about it. The IT staff excited because they're doing other projects. The person that's gotten frustrated waiting on hold, waiting for that password to come back, are excited about it. But the same thing with buildings, right? So the physical side, the guy that gets stuck outside in the fire alarm that has to walk around the building, he's not happy about it and he's pissed because he's wasted time. Just think about how easy this becomes And we talk about it as experiences, and it's an experience. You need to have the right experience for the right reason, with the right security and the right privacy.
Mm-hmm. And there is another point here when we talked about biometrics. It's like talking about transportation. Because then when you break it down, a plane is not the same as a car, and not the same as a bike. And all of those are, you know, related to transportation. So biometrics is the same. It's not the same one system and another system. So there are certifications, there are, you know, a lot of, you know, ways to prove and to test that technology. And we actually, when we talk to corporations and security professionals, we want to be their, you know, their chief identity officer. And this is a, you know, position, a role that today is not, you know, corporations actually are beginning to promote people to be chief identity officer. But we want to be your identity, your chief identity officer. And for example, there are a lot of myths regarding biometrics. And when you implement biometrics that are based on AI and machine learning as well, then you realize that biometrics is not dangerous. Okay. So for example, if you opt out the system, let's suppose that you go to a stadium in which you have our system, then you opt in, you enroll, then you want to opt out, the vector is going to be deleted. Then even if, for example, you go back to the stadium after 2 years, and then your face changed, and then your hair, you're bald, and you don't have hair, then you can enroll again with the same document. And even if the picture has not changed, we can authenticate you. And, you know, if the biometric template, for example, is stolen or is deleted, you don't need to change your face. So there is no, you know, unique biometric templates. Even if you enroll in a, let's suppose in a corporation for, you know, to get that visit, and then you go to the stadium, your biometric templates will be different. You use our technology. So you don't need to, you know, change your face and if that biometric template is stolen or, you know, or deleted. So that's part also of those projects that we work with security professionals.
Yeah, I think it really is about educating the culture on it. Because, so just to clarify a little bit that I'm hearing what you're saying, when it comes to biometrics and facial recognition, there's not a server out there that's just keeping everybody's face on it. It's coming down to essentially gobbledygook that is numbers and templates and stuff like that. And your template might be different between the office and the stadium, like you were saying. But as long as you register and then that template is, you know, secured to your identity, now you have that convenience that you can go in and out of these places. And number one, you know that it's secure because you're making sure that it's you getting in to the access that you've been granted. And number two, it's making the community safer in a sense, because now we know that we're not, you know, hiring felons or something like that that might be associated with bad things that are coming into our organization or industry. So is that correct? Did I get that?
Yep.
Kind of on the head.
Completely.
Cool. So then let's kind of drive it back towards the security industry from the integrator's perspective. For some of the listeners that I know listen to this podcast, can you give us maybe an example of how small to medium business might implement your products into their environment?
Yeah, so it starts, you know, the good thing is we're always looking for integrators, right? So you don't have to replace, right? When we built the product and we thought about it, they can add on. So maybe they have a particular door that they want access to start with, right? We talk about, we joke because this happened at last year at a trade show. We got approached by someone in Latin America talking about, hey, can you help me? I need to get this particular door with facial access because I'm carrying a turtle. So how do you open a door when you have something in your hands? Now, he wasn't looking for security. He was just looking for us to allow them to look at the door, open the door, and have it automatically swing open because he physically had something in his hand. We solved the problem by just opening the door there. Now, You may want to do that for security reasons at a dock. You won't want that door to open, limiting access to certain people that come in through that door. So a lot of things that can happen, but this is a simple project, right? And one door of an entire aquarium, because they had to carry something through it. And they were able to look at just doing one. They don't have to do the entire facility. So the good thing is that what we're noticing is that today you may go into a corporate office and you may do a group of doors, but it's a not constant buyback. So they're coming back and asking for more. They're asking for the next door. And they're slowly changing out, which allows them to say, hey, I got budget this month. I got budget at the end of the quarter. I can do 5 doors. I can do 10 doors, right? Can I replace here? I don't need to replace everybody. I don't need to replace in, maybe I'm getting rid of key doors, which are cheaper, but now I'm going to facial. My employee enjoys that, but I have extra cash to go do that today. So when we built the concept of it, it allows you to go from a door, 10 doors, 15 doors, 20 doors over the course of time. And that's why integrators get excited, because this is a SaaS system. There's a monthly reoccurring part of it. And then on top of that, it just keeps growing as the corporation keeps switching things out.
And without needing to change the physical access control system that you have. So we have this small corporation with Onward. They didn't change anything. I mean, it's putting those terminals on top of the turnstiles. And then now they are, you know, managing all the visits through our system, more than 400 per week. More than 90% of the visitors are using our system, and they can, you know, they automized all the process. So verifying the identity, asking for the visit, completely integrated with Outlook in this case. And then when they get to the building, they verify themselves, and that's it. You receive an email as a host, and then you go to the lobby. Then you're good to go. So everything is automized, and that's part of the story. Yeah, with all access control. I mean, we cannot say all, because there are plenty of those that are, you know, very regional. But our system is prepared to have, for example, the terminals. Although this is kind of very technical. Are prepared to connect with OSDP, Wigand. We have our own protocol. It has dry contacts, so relays. So even if you don't have, if you have a legacy system, we can put it on top of that. So that's pretty easy. Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. And we can improve that and making that car a biometric car, okay, by putting the biometric QR code that we talked about before printed on that card. That's something, for example, now I'm in Mexico, and there are plenty of buildings in which you wear your badge with your picture and all this data, okay, your name, surname. And then the other day I was walking down Reforma Avenue, and then I found a badge with the name, you know, with the address. So, you know, that's a clear vulnerability. I could get to that building and then, you know, get into the building with that credential. In that case, you can put all this information, but if you add that biometric QR code, that zero data identity QR code, that's it. You cannot get there without your face, even if you have that card, okay?
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that right there is it's continuing to solve problems. Obviously it's solving maybe a security vulnerability right at the door with a presumed credential or a presumed identity, but now we're solving things when they're out at coffee and they're wearing their badge. It actually brings what I would consider an element of operational security to your company and to your industry. And operational security is just the notion that, like, how much open source intelligence can somebody get based off of you as an individual or based off of the company that you work for, just from, you know, Googling your name or looking into records or anything like that. And if you're standing there in line at the grocery store and you're wearing your badge because you just got off work and you're getting dinner before you go home, at least now I know that somebody who's just looking for, you know, something to hurt because they're hurt, doesn't look at your badge and then go, you know what, I'm going to try to impersonate this guy, or I found the card and I'm not going to return it, or their badge, I'm not going to return it. I'm going to, you know, use it to, for nefarious reasons. So that's very exciting as well. So awesome. Can you, maybe right before we like kind of wrap things up, we're coming up on the hour. I love the product. I think that I'm going to have a chance to get one in my hands and do a review on it. So I can't wait to reiterate some of the stuff that we've talked here through today. And I also feel like this question of, can I use a more secure method to identity? Can I use biometrics? Is going to start coming up more and more to the security integrator as they talk to their client, because it's kind of like you were saying, Kevin, they see the next guy doing it, the line's shorter over there, or it's convenient for them, and they're like, that is how a lot of things pass, is a high level person with decisions, you know, hears their buddy talking about it and they go, we should put that on our office. So yeah, I really excited about that. But can you go over maybe a little higher overview just one more time of some of the sort of standards and security controls that Veridas uses within their products that might be separate from the rest of the market, but that you guys definitely implement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of them. Actually, for example, all our biometric engines are top NIST ranked. So the NIST, I mean, NIST stands for National Institute of Standards and Technology, just attached to the Department of Commerce here in the U.S. And you know, they this is a global leading institution in biometric standardization, and they rank all the biometric engines out there for voice, for face, and it's free to go there. So anyone can go there, even every university with any engine. We are top NIST ranked, above number three, number two. Then we have also the ISO 30107 from IBDA. So that allows us to demonstrate that, you know, we can detect liveness, and that no one, for example, showing a picture to the camera of our facial terminals can get access to. Okay, so that's also very important. And another one, just to mention it, you know, the ISO 27000 or the SOC 2, mm-hmm. These are also standards that are related to security and information security, which is essential when you store and you handle, you know, personal data, for example. So, for example, the SOC 2 report details over 100 controls safeguarding the data that we process in our services, and we regularly audit that through external companies. So these are, for example, three of those standards that are really important. And we talk to some of our clients. We tell them, I mean, you can choose our technology or not, but just ask for that technology that is, you know, in the NIST ranked, because you are sure that if you go for a top NIST biometric engine, you have no bias, no gender bias, no racial bias, you have no false positives, very low number. Go for the, you know, those technologies that are certified under the IBDA, because you are sure that no one getting to the stadium with a picture of Kevin can get into the venue. Okay. Or go to those that are, you know, that have the ISO 27000 or the SOC 2, because they are, you know, they've been certified to store all the data that is, you know, handled in the process. So that these are key elements to choose a technology, whether it is Veridas or not.
Yeah, one of the other reasons that I definitely wanted you on the podcast is just because it feels as if Veridas is out there to make the world better with their product. And I think that if a company can say, hey, if you don't choose us, at least choose a NIST standard, because that's going to make sure that this product, something like facial recognition, is trying to make the world better. If we do it and people are you know, subjecting themselves to facial recognition that might be lower on the chain, then you can get biases in there. And that's just recycling what we already have felt we've dealt with in humanity. So we're trying to push the, let the technology be to the betterment of humanity and not necessarily to our downfall, which is kind of the balance right now within technology.
Yeah, that's really important, because we always say that I have the right to be authenticated by who I am. Okay, so why typing a password, which is very vulnerable, to get to my SAT or to my, you know, to get to e-commerce? Because I have all my, you know, my credit card number over there, my address, you know, my name. Why a password? I mean, that's vulnerable. I have the right to be authenticated by who I am. So it's kind of, you know, getting to the other side of, you know, having the right to be and to choose to be authenticated by my face, for example, or my voice.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Thank you guys so much for coming on here. Can you just give us a little rundown of how people could get into contact with you? They might have something that they need to address right away, or they might just want something in their portfolio. That's another thing that I tell people all the time on this podcast. I'm like, continue to fill out your portfolio, because you're going to come across an option where this is going to be the solution for your customer, and you want to be able to provide that for them and for you. So how can they get in contact with you, and how can they learn more about your product?
They can always go to the website, veridas.com. They can reach out, our contact information is directly on it. But they can always reach out to me. My email is kvreeland@veridas.com. And we're always open to conversations, right? If we're not the right fit, we understand that, right? Mm-hmm. But we want to make sure we guide you to the right fit. I've been in the identity space for a long time. I know all the players, and every player has something slightly different. And sometimes it's not us, and we get it, right? Like, we're not a, someone asked me the other day to verify identities with using a 2D barcode and the data on the front of the driver's license. And I said, that's great. That's not us. This is a vendor you want to go talk to, because it doesn't help, right? It just hurts the long-term adoption of these things, right? So people get upset. But they can reach out to us, to me directly. They can reach out on the website, and we're more than willing to have conversations.
Well, Kevin, Alfonso, thank you so much for coming on. I know that this one's going to be a hit, and people are going to love digging into this stuff. So thanks again for coming on, and we'll see you guys around. We'll see you guys at ISC for sure. So,
thanks.
We'll be there. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Bye.